And turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I really appreciate our local community. I appreciate our local police department, Waterford Police Department. And I just thought I ought to acknowledge them this morning for providing me material to begin the message. I saw they provided me with a just a simple joke for Father's Day. And so if you don't find it funny, talk to them, not to me. But anyways, because my jokes never, no one ever laughs. But there was a son out with his father golfing on the golf course. And he looked at his dad and he asked his dad, he said, "Dad, why do you always bring a pair of socks when you go golfing?" He couldn't figure it out. Why do you bring a clean pair of socks when you go golfing? And the dad says, "Well, just in case I hit a hole in one. Or just in case I get a hole in one." Well, anyways, that's from the Waterford Police Department for Happy Father's Day, okay? But anyways, Philippians chapter 4 this morning. And what an appropriate passage of Scripture for Father's Day, and especially for men, and for ladies as well. But as Paul is writing this letter, and as he's coming to the conclusion of this letter that he writes to the church, we come down to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, and he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so many times we look at this passage of Scripture and we study out the meaning of those words in that passage of Scripture, but what's interesting and what's very arresting and challenging is when you read the next verse. Because Paul ties verse number 8 very specifically with verse number 9. And he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard," and then he says this, and how challenging is this, "and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you for the very word of God that teaches us and tells us how we can and ought to live as a child of God. Lord, we thank you also for the testimony of Paul. And not only the testimony of Paul, but the very many testimonies of men that have influenced our lives. Fathers and grandfathers and other men as well. Lord, this morning may we be encouraged and challenged in regard to our lives as it impacts the lives of others. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I'm very thankful and extremely blessed to have been raised in a Christian home with a Christian mom and a Christian dad. And thinking back, I can remember how much inadvertently I learned from my dad. My dad was a hard worker. He was a gracious family man. He worked. He was a mechanical engineer for a company called High Voltage Engineering. And actually, they were a company that was part of General Dynamics up in Massachusetts. But he was a mechanical engineer back in the day when there weren't computers and everything was done by hand. And he was a hard worker. He brought his work home with him. He had a room that off the side of the house that had a big 4x8 sheet of plywood that he made a drafting table. And many times I'd go in there and be amazed at the blueprints that were there. And he would have a slide ruler and one of those three-sided rulers and all the pencils And I would look and just amaze at all the details and everything else. He taught us as young people how to work. He taught us how to mow the lawn and mow straight lines lengthwise so that the lawn would look just perfect. He taught us other things. He taught us the importance of family. And Sunday afternoons was a time when we would go for a walk as a family. Sunday night, we'd come home after church, and he would, every Sunday night, and this is why your pastor loves to make omelets, because every Sunday night after church, we would come home, and we would sit down, and he would make an individual omelet for each one of us, and then we would sit down, and how many remember Efren Zimbalist Jr. and the FBI? You know, you'd have part one, part two, part three. I think there was part four. Yeah, there was, because there had to be those commercial breaks. And then the conclusion. And every Sunday night, we waited for our omelet with ketchup and Efren Zimbalist Jr. And but I remember so many things that our dad taught us through life, all sorts of things. And what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that what you've heard, what you've learned, what you've received, he says, but also what you've seen in me. And the impact of a Christian dad is so important. But you know, when you read the testimony of Paul, the Bible doesn't tell us that Paul had any sons or daughters. But Paul had an impact on a young man. Back in Philippians chapter 2, Paul speaks of Timothy. In verse 22, he says, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know, when you read the testimony of Paul and you read the life of Timothy, you see the impact that Paul had on Timothy's life. Back in Acts chapter 16, it tells us that Timothy, he had a mom and a dad, and the Bible says in Acts 16 that his mother was a Hebrew lady that believed in the Lord, but his father was a Greek. But when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul writes about Timothy as his own son in the faith. And Paul had an impact on Timothy, although he wasn't his son by birth. Paul wasn't his actual father. He had an impact and an influence on Timothy's life as his spiritual dad. And I'm so thankful for my dad, and I'm so thankful for the impact my dad had on my life, and I could spend so much time this morning speaking of all the things that I learned from my dad. But I also want to mention something else. I'm so thankful for all the other men in the church where I grew up, and the impact that all those other men had on my life, because they were men just like my dad. We grew up in a church that was nearby a Christian college, and we had godly pastors. We had Bible professors that were in our home, were in our church. But there were so many men, just simple men, simple dads that worked hard during the week, but loved God and loved their families and loved the young people of the church. And I'm so thankful for them. I could mention so many of them. I remember men like Sunday school teachers. I remember a man that owned a landscape company, and he was our youth director. Our youth leader, and they were just typical men. I remember four men that would stand up and sing in a gospel quartet: Ray Peterson and Mr. Howell and I forget the other guy's name, but they would sing old songs like "There's Honey in the Rock, My Brother," one of my favorite gospel tunes. I remember men that I remember this man, I don't remember his name, but I remember he just faithfully drove the bus to the college. Old school bus, it was always breaking down, and every Sunday morning after church, we'd go out there and all the college kids get back on the bus, and he'd be fiddling around with the engine, trying to get that thing running, and he was just faithful to the bus ministry of bringing the college kids in. Kind of with a little laugh, I remember another man, I'm not going to mention his name, but we always knew there was an usher in the house. This one usher, we always knew. Every young person knew that there was a certain man that was in the, he was a faithful man of God, and we always knew, because at some point in the service, he would always stand in the back, and some point in the service, he would sneeze and blow his nose. It was one of those things that we teens knew. He was there every Sunday morning. We knew it. The way we knew it, we didn't have to see him, didn't have to shake his, we knew he was there. But all those men were faithful, just simple men, just like everyone that's here this morning. Simple men that just love their God, love their Savior, love their church, love their family, love their kids, and had an impact on the lives of others. And you know, when we look at verse number 9 of chapter 4, this is what Paul is speaking about. And boy, how arresting it is, because Paul sets himself out there in front of everybody. And he says, you've learned things, you've heard things, you've received things. He says, but you've also seen them in my life. And I thought about it, and I thought, what a statement to make. What a willingness to stand there in front of these people and say, listen, you can look at my life. And I'm willing for you to look at my life and see Christ in me. Boy, that's a very arresting statement. And this morning, as we look at Paul's statement, I don't want to take time and dive into the meaning of verse number 8 and all those words. Because what Paul is really saying is, those are all the things of Christ. But this morning I want to speak to you, and especially to the men, and the importance that your life can have and the impact that your life can have on a younger generation simply by living a faithful and consistent life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's so many of you that are having an impact. There's so many, and the young people are going to grow up, and they might not remember your name when they're my age. But they'll remember how every Sunday morning you gave them one of those pieces of candy that their parents said, oh, there we go again. Or they'll remember how you went on that mountain hike yesterday with them and just spent time with them. They'll remember how you worked around the church with them. They'll remember all the things just in your life that had an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ on them. And those are things that when you sit down as an older person, not I'm not an older person, but as you sit down as a middle-aged young man and you start to reflect back, you think back on all the people and all their lives, that when you think about it, you saw Christ in them. You saw the reality of God in their life. You saw the difference in their life because of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to just bring it down to three important things. And three important things that I saw in men in my life, but more importantly, that I saw in my own dad. And I'm so thankful for. And I want to go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And by the way, my dad was not a perfect individual. You say, well, how do we know? We You know, some of you, you never met my dad. Well, just by this, the apple doesn't fall from far from the tree. Right? You'll catch that later on. My dad was a very quiet man because my mother would never let him get a word in edgewise. But I tell you what, his faith and his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ influenced me so much in my life. And as a young person, I didn't even understand it or realize it. But the more I look back, the more I see things in my life that just were a result of his life and his influence. And the first one I want to mention is found in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul writes, and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And the first thing I would say, and the first point or the first important thing I would say, that it all starts with the gospel. And I would say point number one, the gospel connection. The gospel connection. That my dad was saved. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was so evident. And he brought us up in the context of the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were taught the Word of God. We are taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are taught about how to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. He brought us to a church where they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the simple and firm and powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember the two pastors that I grew up with. One was an older man, much older than myself, but Pastor Don Ryder. And we loved him, and he preached the gospel. And then there was a younger pastor that came on the scene, Wayne Hill and his family, and gracious men of God, but they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't only my dad, it wasn't only the pastors, but the men of the church. The men of the church. The gospel and just preaching and sharing the gospel was a part of their lives. Before I ever met Roger Olson and before I ever heard of the FAIR ministry that Roger was involved in, I grew up in a church that we were involved in the FAIR ministry because the men of the church would take the young people at church and we would go to the fairs and Topsfield Fair, the oldest, claimed to be the oldest fair in the United States of America. Of course, every old agricultural fair will call that. But we used to go to the Topsfield Fairs as young people with the men of our church with the purpose of handing out tracts at the fair. I remember going on the streets and through the neighborhoods with the men of the church, just passing out the gospel, inviting folks out of the church and doing other things. But it didn't stop there. With my dad, it didn't stop there. And I know that he taught us the gospel. I know that he brought us up in a church that preached the gospel. We were around other men that loved the gospel and were concerned about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it didn't stop there. There were missionaries that were in our home all the time. And from all across the world. But didn't even stop there. Every time Evangelist Billy Graham would come into our city or a city around us, my dad would take us every night. Every night we were one of those evangelistic crusades, whether it was in Boston or Lynn, and we would listen to him preach the simple gospel. And it was one of those services. It was after a service in Lynn, Massachusetts, that I remember coming home that night and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I would challenge every man here this morning, every father, every young man, every older man, to make sure that by God's grace that God uses you to have an impact of others on others through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the most important thing that someone would know about you is that you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what makes a difference in your life. Because in every one of those men, from my dad to my pastors to the other men in the church, the thing that brought them together, the thing that made the impact was that more important than anything they did, it was their relationship with Jesus Christ. It was their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as a young person, as a teenager, and we teenagers, we were rascals, to be nice. We'll just leave it at that. But yet the impact that these men had on our lives as younger men was so important. And it started because all of these men had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and with God through Jesus Christ. Because they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it continued on much more than that. Because not only was there a gospel connection that impacted our lives, whether it was in my family and the families of others, but there was something else. And I call this a gospel confidence. In chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul goes on to say this. After he says your fellowship in the gospel, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there's something that our family, my two brothers and my sister and us, that we witnessed in my dad that, boy, I'm so thankful for. And that was this. He had confidence in his God and in his Savior. He had a faith that you could not shake. He walked with God, he believed God, and he trusted God. And Paul had a confidence. Paul said, as he writes to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he says, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And here in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes and he says, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And my mom, she would harp and she would preach to us. And she, you know, that's what moms do, right? But I know this, my dad had a simple confidence in the God that God would work in the lives of his children. Because he knew how God had worked in his life. And he knew the faith and the confidence and the trust that he had in his God. There were so many times in our life that we saw the evidence of this in the reality of his life. There were so many times that I can look back and I just think back, and I know your memories get vague, but and maybe the details, you don't quite remember all the details. But I remember the faith that my dad had, the trust that he had. And there were two times that stick out, and I know I probably mentioned them before, but there were two times. One was when I was young in life, and he had got laid off from his job, and I remember him coming home and telling the family, and yet he wasn't upset, he wasn't nervous, he wasn't fearful. And I can remember somehow in the conversation him telling us that God would take care of us and God would provide. And it was shortly after that, and like I said, I don't remember all the specific details, but it was shortly after that that God took him from that one job, and within just a short matter of time, he was teaching at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And it didn't skip a beat. Because he just trusted God that Matthew 6:33 was still in the book. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Later on, as they moved out to California, and that was, you know, like I said, he wasn't perfect, and they would make ungodly decisions in life, but you know, sometimes where your dad thinks he's right, and you as a young person, you just know that, no, Dad, that's so wrong. But anyways, they get out there to California, and they lived and they retired out there, but he got laid off out there later on in life from a company. And he was a very quiet man and never said much. But he asked the president of the company, they were having a dinner, a retirement dinner for the folks, the men that got laid off, and he asked if he could speak. And I remember him telling this to us in a very quiet way, told us how he went to this dinner, and when he stood up, had the opportunity to speak, he just simply said that he thanked them for the opportunity to work at this company. He thanked for them for how they took care of him, thanked them for all the blessings, the benefits of being part of the company. And then he held up a dollar bill. And somehow, I don't know his words, but somehow he said something to the effect, he says, I'm not worried about the future. Because it says on this dollar bill, in God we trust. And he says, I just sat down. And that was his faith. That he knew he could believe and trust in God. He believed the word of God. I have my dad's Bible in somewhere. I couldn't find it this morning, but it's somewhere. But I'll tell you what, you can't open a page of his Bible that it's not marked up. I mean, he was a mechanical engineer, so there's sticky notes all over it, and there's markings, and it's highlighted and just filled with his study of the Word of God. Because as much as he was detailed in mechanical engineering, he was detailed and precise in studying the Word of God. But not only did he believe the Word of God, but he trusted the will of God. And he trusted the way of God, and he trusted the working of God. And men, what young people need to see and what young men to see is not only that you have a connection with God through Jesus Christ, not only that you have a personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, but how important it is that young men see the reality that you have a confidence in God, that you believe God and you trust God, and you know that the reality of God, you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. And you have a confidence in God that is evident in your life, that you trust God, that you believe him and you trust him. You trust him with your life. You trust him with your family. You trust him with your work. You trust him with your finances. You trust him with your health. You trust him with your future. You trust God completely. And as the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 28, he would stand on that ship in the midst of the storm when all the rest of the men are fearing and afraid. And in the midst of that storm, Paul would stand up and say, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be as he has told me. And I'm so thankful that I had a dad that was the testimony of his life. That he believed God, that it would be just as it says in the book. that he could believe God and he could trust God. And Paul writes and he says, he speaks of the fellowship in the gospel and the impact that we can have as men in the lives of young men because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The impact that we can have as dads and fathers and men in the lives of young people because of our confidence in our God, and our confidence in the Word of God and the work of God and the power of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, the very person and presence of God. But there's one more thing that Paul writes of that is so important. Because you see, all those things we can teach and we can preach and a young person can hear and they can receive. But Paul says more than that. He says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9, he says not only what you've learned, not only what you've received, not only what you've heard, but what you've seen in me do. And what really makes the impact is that what we say and what we teach and what we preach, that it's evidenced in the reality of our everyday life. And Paul mentions this in Philippians chapter 1 and also in Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians chapter 3 says, our conversations in heaven from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what Paul is speaking there, when Paul uses that word conversation, it's more than the words that are spoken. It's the life that is lived. And Paul says that your conversation, your affairs, the way that you live, like Pastor Donnie was speaking about the blood drive and the importance of the testimony that we had, not only just being willing to do a blood drive and not only be willing to offer our church and all that, but just that they would see the testimony of how that when things change and things are uncertain and things aren't the way that you plan them out, that we trust in God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and minds. And the world would say, well, you just go with the flow. No, we don't go with the flow. We go with God. There's a difference. And we just walk with God. And it was a delight. It was a joy. I actually thanked the man that ran it. I went to him and I said, Joe, thank you very much. He says, why? I says, well, I'm the senior pastor. I says, is that going to give me initiative to tell us how we need to go through our fellowship hall and really clean every room and just get rid of everything, chuck everything, and just clean every room and make it? I promised him, I said, Joe, by the time this next blood drive comes around, that place is going to be smelling so nice. I said, thank you so much for giving me a reason to say it's time to clean house. Right? Anyways. And he smiled and he said, wow. But it's our testimony of the reality of Christ and God in our lives. And Paul says, your conversation, that your life would evidence that. And so many times, the example of my dad was so evident. Later on, we were still young. We were still, wasn't even teenagers yet. And my mom's dad got very sick with arthritis. And they lived in New Hampshire, an hour away. And we would go to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. I don't know how often, how long, but boy, it seemed like every Sunday to us as young people. But every Sunday afternoon, we'd drive up Sunday afternoon to New Hampshire so my mom could spend time with her dad, who was just in the later years of her life and going through severe arthritis. And yet every Sunday afternoon, And every Sunday evening, my dad would gather up the family, all except for one of us. We all get one time to stay home with Grampy and watch Bonanza and have lobster, which the doctor said he couldn't, but anyways. And every Sunday night, Dad would take the rest of the family to church in the community up there in New Hampshire. And I just remember how everything that I mentioned in the life of my dad came back to a verse in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And men, I would challenge you this morning. I would challenge you this morning in this regard. You might say, well, my family's grown up and they're out of the house. I would challenge you to determine by God's grace you're going to be a godly man that God would use to have an impact on the young men that are growing up in our church. Because God wants to use you. And it's not too late to start. Because young men and children need to see the reality of God in the lives of older men that really live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that love God and love Christ and love others. And so I would challenge you this morning, I encourage you, but I challenge you to determine by God's grace that your life, that God will use it as a man of God to impact young men and young people, that they would have a godly connection, that they would have a gospel connection, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And also, that they would see a gospel confidence, that they would see that you not only believe God, but that you trust God, that you walk with God and you wait upon God and you trust God with everything in your life. And they would see the evidence of a godly and gospel conversation, that your life, the way that you live, not only here, but everywhere, that they'd see Christ living in you. That they would see Jesus Christ living in you. That they would see the reality of Christ and the difference that Christ makes in one man's life. Because Paul says, that which you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. And I would challenge every man this morning, that by God's grace, you determine this morning, Lord, please help me to live for you more than anything else, so that my son or some other young man might be impacted by the reality of Jesus Christ in your life for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for your grace in our lives. And Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, I thank for the women of our church. But today, Lord, is Father's Day, and Lord, this morning I thank you for the men of our church. Thank for their testimony. Thank for their example. Thank for the impact that they're having on the lives of others. Lord, I just pray that you'd just challenge us this morning, Lord, that we'd commit ourselves to living for you more than anything else. so that others might see Christ living in us. That our young people might be impacted by our lives as over the months and the years they see the reality of God in our lives and the reality of Christ. That Christ does live within us. That the Spirit of God does dwell within us. That the Word of God is true and faithful. And that we can believe and trust you with everything. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. For it is only and always through your grace and your power and not of ourselves. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.